Blog Talk Radio.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's alright with me. Oh, just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
You're locked into the Brown Eye Perspective with Tracy and Cliff.
Good evening, listening family. Today is Thursday, September 29th. We are almost at the end of September. Man, and boy, did it come in. I mean, we're enjoying the warm weather not too long ago, and now, you know, temperatures on drop by, I say, like 20 degrees, which I think is freezing. But, you know, today is September 29th, and we are once again here to talk about, you know, our next episode and the importance of supporting minority-owned businesses. And so we have an entrepreneur on the line with us, which we'll talk to him in a little bit. But, you know, like we always do, I'll introduce my co-host, Cliff. How you doing, Cliff?
What's happening, Trace?
Oh, nothing. So I know you've been busy, right? I feel like you've been busy.
Yeah, I've been a little busy trying to minority-owned business thing pop. So, you know, this is near and dear to my heart, tonight's topic.
Yeah. So, and, you know, listening family, I'll let y'all know. But I called him up like, Cliff, what you doing? Like, I feel like I haven't heard from you in a while. Where you been? Like, I, you know, really feel like he just kind of disappeared for a little bit. But, you know, I see him on social media. But, you know, I used to get text messages every now and then. And, you know, Cliff was busy. He was hustling. But,
don't be like that. Don't be giving them the down low on what's going on.
I didn't say I was all in my feelings or nothing. I'm just saying you were busy. I felt a little neglected. Great topic. Yes, I got your undivided attention now, and so does the rest of our listening family. So that is awesome. But yeah, this should be very near and dear to your heart. You are a business owner. You're a minority. And you do great work. So this is, I'm excited to hear a little bit more about what Leonard will talk about. So,
yeah. So, look, you know, what's up with you? I'm seeing you. Hey, I know Nitty runs the city, but hey, you be getting your run on too, Trace. What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, same also. I try and get them in when I can. So cooler temperatures, you know, I really don't like cold weather. So I'm just letting y'all know now, when I get to that age where I can head south for the winter, that's where I'm going. But now, you know, I haven't been able to work out the way I want to. So I try and do something a little competitive. So I happened to do two 5Ks last weekend, one for the deaf school here in Newark. And that was different, but it was, you know, a good race. And then also for St. Francis, which was at the riverfront. So that's all I've really been doing, and staying busy. So, you know, our producer is very busy, you know, with band and, you know, sports and, you know, this and that. So it's a busy time of the year for us.
Awesome. Good stuff. Shouldn't I be getting some flowers from you to that regard very soon?
You should be, and I'm just waiting to drop them off. So, you know, I don't want to talk about last year.
We on. get my pyramid and everything on Friday. But look,
yes,
we got to do the thing, girlfriend. We got to bring our guests in. You know, we've been talking about what we've been up to. You know, we've talked about doing this show for a while. The time is now. It's a great time. We got a great guest. Let me tell the listening family a little bit about the guest that we have tonight. Tonight we're going to be joined by Mr. Leonard Young III. He's a native of Wilmington, Delaware, and a graduate of AI DuPont High School. He attended Florida A&M in Tallahassee, Florida, on a swimming and an Army ROTC scholarship. After graduating from FAMU with his BS in mechanical engineering, Mr. Leonard worked in Philadelphia for a leading mechanical company. He left Philadelphia in 2004 to pursue other opportunities, where he moved to Texas temporarily before coming back to the great state of Delaware. Mr. Leonard founded DelawareBlack.com LLC in September of 2006 with the mission of promoting black businesses, organizations, and local events. Over the years, DelawareBlack.com has organized numerous community and business events such as the recent Delaware Black Awards, the Delaware Black Expo, along with other events and fundraisers. Leonard believes that his success with DelawareBlack.com is largely due to the relationships he's built through his involvement in the community. In 2010, he received the Emerging Leader honoree from Manna Christian Fellowship Church and Community Advocate Awards from Beautiful Gate Outreach Center for his work through DelawareBlack.com. In June of 2011, he was recognized as the Delaware SBA Minority Business Champion and was the 2013 Metropolitan Wilmington Urban League Lions and Legends recipient. Mr. Young is a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity and the Women's Challenge Organization. So without further ado, listening family, we bring to you Mr. Leonard Young III. You there, Leonard?
Yes, sir. How are you? Appreciate it. Thank you.
We appreciate you. So Leonard, I didn't tell folks in the introduction. I didn't tell them yet where they can find you. We're going to get into that as we have the discussion. I will tell folks that they can start, if they want to start to find you, some background information on you outside of what we just did, that they can check you out at DelawareBlack.com. That's one word, DelawareBlack.com. They can find out about the Delaware Black Awards at DelawareBlackAwards.com, and they can find out about the Delaware Black Awards Expo at DelawareBlackExpo.com. So as we have this conversation, listen, family, if y'all want to look up our guest a little bit and look at some of the things we're talking about, that's where you can find us. Hey, man. A lot of stuff you've done.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, what made you want to launch DelawareBlack.com?
Gotcha. Yeah, so, you know, kind of like the bio said, started in 2006. And, you know, really the main reason was, of course, I'm from Delaware, had the opportunity to leave Delaware, but, you know, went to Florida, went to Philly, went to Texas. And when I came back to Delaware, all those places I had been before, they all had some type of black community media, whether it was radio, TV, newspaper, magazine, you know, something. But, you know, when I came back to Delaware, we really didn't have anything. And one of the things that kind of sticks out is something my grandmother was saying. She was talking about, of course, like Christiana Cultural Arts Center, which is kind of like, you know, a staple in the city of Wilmington for cultural arts. And she was talking about how she had gone to a program there, and, it was a great program, but it just wasn't well attended. And, you know, I think that just kind of made me think about, you know, especially here in Delaware, I know, like, we're under the Philadelphia media market. So, you know, a lot of the stuff happening in Delaware, the good stuff, we don't hear about, and especially in the African-American community. And, you know, so at that point, it was actually me and one of my friends. And what we decided to do was to start a website where we would just focus on black businesses and you know, African-American events here in Delaware. So, you know, that was really how we got started. And then, you know, probably just like with any business, as things went along, you know, there are some things we tried that worked, some things we didn't. You know, the things we did, we tried to get rid of them. And, you know, over time, you know, it really just developed and, you know, kind of like it's in the bio, you know, I mean, in a way, you know, I feel like there's some stuff that I did that was beneficial, but, you know, really, like, we tried to follow what we thought the community needed. And, you know, the stuff that the community supported or, you know, that they voiced support for, those were the type of things we try to keep on doing. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's really how it got started. I mean, if it weren't for, you know, probably my grandparents. And, you know, my grandparents, well, my grandfather was born in Wilmington, lived in Wilmington not all his life, but, you know, grew up in Wilmington. So, you know, like, they always told me stories of, like, the black businesses, how at one point, you know, all the black businesses were on the east side before segregation. And then after segregation, you know, the doctors, the teachers, the lawyers, the, you know, started moving out of the neighborhoods. And, you know, so, you know, in a way, they kind of just ingrained a lot in me, you know, as far as, you know, the black community and black businesses and, you know, I guess how, you know, how we used to be, you know, a lot more unified and connected. So, you know, those are probably just all the things that, you know, start to spur me starting DelawareBlack.com.
Oh, that's great, Leonard. So in starting, when you started, I know that you said that, you know, there were some things that you that didn't work so well and you got rid of them, and then there were some things that did work well. So, you know, how would you suggest that people, you know, reach out to your website, or what's one of the features that I guess really, showcase DelawareBlack.com?
So, you know, I think probably one of the biggest things is just our events calendar. And, you know, I mean, granted, like, we don't have every, you know, black event happening in Wilmington or Delaware, but, you know, we do have a lot of good events. So, you know, I think it's perfect because it's kind of like, you know, if you're looking for something to do in Delaware, and I mean, you know, now you can probably go to Facebook, but, you know, besides Facebook, you know, where would you go to see what, you know, African American events are going on in Delaware? You know, like, you know, you may know about an event here, an event there. But so, you know, our event calendar is probably one of the things that brings the most traffic to our website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, people love to go and do stuff. They love to. So, you know, whether it's, you know, plays, parties, community events, expos, festivals, you know, people like to support other people. They like to go to stuff. So, I mean, I would definitely say our event calendar is probably one, you know, the things that probably brings the most traffic and, you know, the most people visit the website for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to, you know, listen, family, I want to say at the height of activity for my entertainment company, we utilized the services of Mr. Young and DelawareBlack.com. You know, I was trying to figure out how to reach the demographic that we were trying to reach for one of our events. And I asked the person, they said, "Whoa, you're not talking to DelawareBlack.com?" And I said, "Not yet." They said, "Oh, yeah, that's the first thing you have to do." So, you know, I reached out to Mr. Young, and, you know, Mr. Young did his thing. He has a powerful email blast service. And, you know, I got to tell you, we had people at the event. We marketed very heavily, but we had people at the event that I know weren't people that I particularly had marketed to. And I knew that push would come from DelawareBlack.com. So, you know, kind of moving, you know, what you're talking to us about in terms of what inspired you to start DelawareBlack.com, and then kind of looking at the other side of the table where I've utilized the services of DelawareBlack.com, I can tell the listening family that it absolutely filled a need for that market and for our target demographic. So, you know, we definitely thank you for the service that you do. And, you know, you got to keep doing that. You do.
Right. And I'll tell you funny, like, I do hear that a lot. And, you know, like one of the things I always say about the website is, you know, I don't make the website about me. So, like, you know, even like, I'll tell you, Cliff, it's funny because when I first started, you know, there'd be people I've run into, and this is like a year and a half after it started, they didn't even know that I did the website, you know, because, you know, I mean, I guess it just is what it is, but, you know, I don't want to put my face up there. I don't be putting my name on there, you know. You know, of course, I will promote it, you know, if I'm on social media or stuff like that, but, you know, I really wanted it to be a community type website because, you know, like one of the things I always think about, and, you know, y'all can probably relate, you know, sometimes people will support what you do, but as soon as they know you do it, they, oh, you know, Cliff, you know, he owed me money, or, you know, Tracy, you know, didn't give me a ride. Like, I'm not going to support her business. So, you know, like in a way, you know, it's kind of good to be a little anonymous. And, you know, I put my work into the website, and if people like or don't like the website, it don't have anything to do with me personally, you know, just, you know, that's my product.
That's right.
You know, it's funny you say that because we have this discussion, you know, obviously offline about some of the topics that we do discuss, how, you know, people may not want to hear it from us. But if they
right.
hear it from someone else who got it from us,
exactly.
then that's okay. Then that's okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I wanna pivot here just a little bit, Leonard. You know, like I said, we've got you here. You know, we've gone through some of the background information, but, you know, we want to have this discussion about the importance of supporting minority-owned businesses. I'm going to toss out a little bit of information, and then Tracy and I are going to pivot here, and we're going to talk to you about to our advantage and why it's important to support these minority-owned businesses. The first bit of data that I want to talk about is a recent report by Nielsen revealed that African-Americans contribute $1.2 trillion a year to the American economy. Once we figure that African-Americans only comprise 13.3% of the U.S. population, and in raw numbers, we represent only very close to 43 million people. If we do the simple math there, it computes to $27,900 per capita per African-American in this country is what we contribute to the economy. Now, when you figure that,
right.
that also includes children under the age of 18 or children under age where they don't have their own income, that is buying power. That is power
right
there. Tracy and I have had this conversation so many times. I do not believe that as a community we properly leverage the power that we have, which is our spending power. What are your thoughts on that?
Now, I mean, I definitely agree because, you know, like I think one of the questions you said is, you know, why should we support black businesses? And, you know, like the thing I always think about is when we support black businesses, more than likely, and, you know, I'm going to throw out a number. I don't have any proof, but I'm just going to say, you know, 90% of those businesses support back the community. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like the thing I always think about, and like even like we always hear when they talk about the city of Wilmington, they talk about all these people come in the city of Wilmington to work. You know, they make money, and then at 5 o'clock, they all leave the city. So they're not contributing any money back. And I kind of feel like the same way with black businesses. So, and, you know, I mean, I don't have no problem with any other ethnicities, but, you know, I feel that if we're in a neighborhood and there's a neighborhood restaurant, let's just say, you know, a black-owned restaurant, and we purposely support that restaurant, more than likely the owner of that restaurant know the needs of the community. You know, they're more likely to shop in the community. They're more likely to donate money back in the community. They're more likely to employ people in the community. Let's just say, and, you know, I mean, I love Chinese food, but, you know, if we support, you know, the Chinese restaurant in the neighborhood, they're probably not hiring any black people. They're probably not donating any money back to the community. They're probably not, you know, supporting the community. So, you know, I feel like it's a whole reciprocal effect where, you know, when we support black businesses, we're actually supporting ourselves. You know, those are, you know, the people in our community. Those are our neighbors. You know, those are maybe our family members, our brothers, our sisters. So, you know, I feel like, you know, until we can really support, well, actually, I feel like we're supporting a lot of people who don't support us back.
Yes, sir.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And I think that's the argument that a lot of minorities are now, that's a statement or statements that they're now, you know, verbalizing. And so,
right.
You know, and we see it and we know that it happens, but then on the flip side, we also, we always want to hook up from from our brother and sisters who are business owners. And I think we sometimes forget, hey, they have bills to pay just like we have bills to pay. So we don't go into
it's funny because I just came from an event, and, you know, we were just talking about it where we were saying that, you know, a lot of times we always want to hook up from, you know, each other. We always want something free. Where, you know, you go to Christiana Mall, they're not giving you, I mean, you know, if the sales price is the sales price, you know, the regular price, you know, they're not giving you anything free. But, you know, it's like unless I give somebody the discount, they don't want to support me. Or, you know, they complain or, you know, it's a haggling type situation. So,
yeah. And
you know,
and
so
that's
mm-hmm.
we always, you know, that's one thing that we always bring up. And then we also talk about the customer service that we receive from minority-owned
right.
businesses and as well as our HBCUs, because that's one of the things that, you know, there was a report done on that many years ago. But, you know, what do you find when you're dealing with, minority-owned or minority business owners? Is that something that they gripe about? Is it a rumor? Is it just, you know, I know you just said that people were talking about the hookup, but what is it across the board that minority-owned business owners, that they request or they want from their customers or you know, just something that you hear on a regular basis from them?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, I definitely hear about, you know, people always wanting to hook up or people wanting to barter. I hear that all the time. And, you know, kind of like some little meme on social media, I always think about it. Say, well, you know, bartering don't pay the bills. Like, yeah, I mean, we can barter all day, but, you know, at the end of the month, the light bills still do. And if I can't pay it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's one. And then another thing I hear, and this probably is more people in like the retail business, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Walmart can buy stuff, you know, in wholesale, you know, bulk, where a lot of our little mom and pops, you know, can't buy it in bulk like Walmart is, so they can't give the low price. So, you know, I mean, you almost have to consciously support, you know, some of these small businesses, even though the price may not be the same, you know. So I think those are probably just the two biggest things. One of my friends, she has a like a clothing store, and, you know, like she has good clothing, but she can't compete with the mall prices, you know. So it's kind of like people come to her, they see her prices, oh, well, you know, I can go get that at the mall for $40 less or $20 less. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's just that mentality where it's like, if we really want to support black businesses, then, like, we're going to have to pay a little more, you know. Tracy, like you were saying, sometimes we may have to deal with, as far as the customer service, you know, I mean, that's a little hard because, you know, nobody wants to be disrespected or treated rudely.
Right.
But,
right.
I guess it's just how do we address it but still be able to support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wanted to jump in here, too, because you touched on several things that I wanted to kind of expand on a little bit. Number one, Leonard, is so true that in dealing with sometimes African-Americans and other minorities, that they do tend to look for a hookup or look to lessen your overall call schedule or your charge schedule. And, you know, I had to learn this from DJ B Love, who will talk to us a little bit later in the show. You know, he gives me a lot of nuggets in terms of business because he's been a businessman, an independent businessman, an entrepreneur longer than I have. And he said to me, he said when people approach him for the hookup, he asked him a simple question. When you go in McDonald's, do they discount that Big Mac? and when you
right.
know when you think
exactly.
about it, it's true. You don't think it. I don't want to steal his thunder because I'm sure that might have been something that he was going to hit on when he joins the show. But yeah, that's
right.
true. You get a certain establishment, and you never think about asking for a hookup. But lots of times, minority on minority, we do tend to look for that. And I think it's the result of as a group of people, we've just been so conditioned to not support ourselves, through business. And, I don't want to go back through the history of it because if you really go back through the history of it, places like Tulsa, Oklahoma will show you, kind of why, support for African-American-owned businesses waned because when the African-American businesses were successful, lots of times, their rivals, burn them down or destroy them or use other means to make them no longer a competitor. But,
right.
flashing forward to 2016, I think that the decades worth of experiences has kind of placed minorities at a point where I'm not 100% sure that we totally understand, like, the continuum. You talked about how, when you put money into a minority-owned business, you are not only supporting that business owner, but because that business owner does things in the community, you are in turn uplifting the community. I'm not sure we understand that because we're just
right.
studies have been done. Money in our community changes hands at a much at a much faster pace than it does other ethnicities. I don't like to continue to use the comparison to the Jewish community, but I believe the Jewish community in the United States, their community shows the highest level of how many times the money rotates within their community before it ever leaves.
Right.
So, I wanted to put that out there. And so the question then, Tracy, I pose this question to you. I heard you ask Leonard, what he thought about how people ask for the hookup. I want to ask you, how do you approach minority-owned businesses?
That's a really good question. But I never ask for the discount. But I am very open and honest about I want to know up front how much it's going to cost. But I do that with everybody. So I don't just do that with minority-owned businesses. I want to know how much something is going to cost or how much your services are going to cost me. I'll tell this story quickly. I am looking for kind of like not so much a party planner, but I'm looking for someone to help with decorations. And so I reached out to someone that was recommended. They reside in Baltimore. And so I was very open and honest. Look, I live in Delaware. I wasn't aware of anyone in Delaware, but someone recommended this person. Hey, are you willing to travel to Delaware, whatever the cost, give me the cost, and, to do your service. And this is all, obviously via social media. And so the response was, give me the date, the location, blah, 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 and then I'll add that into your contract. Well, once I gave them the address, they're like, I have something else planned that day, and that's too far away. You should have said that in the first place. You know what I mean? So I feel like we reach out. So I do. I reach out to folks, and I don't want to say that's not the answer that I want to give, but sometimes they're not willing to work for it. And you have to expand outside of even the city of Baltimore. You know, I know that I'm quite sure she could probably get lots of clientele in the area, but if that was the case, then you would have never even reached out to me. Like, it would have been like, yeah, no, Delaware's not in my market area, or that's not an area that I service. But, hey, I can recommend someone else. And that's what I think we don't see as much anymore. We don't see that, hey, I'm not available, but I know someone else that is. That's also a minority business owner.
Yeah, cool. And I want to, you know, before we get to the good music intermission, it's about 5 minutes away, I wanted to toss one more thing out there real quick. I'm not going to speak for Leonard. I'll let Leonard speak for himself. So, Leonard, follow up on this comment when I'm finished. But I want to say that, you know, on this show, we're talking about the importance of supporting minority-owned businesses. I want to be clear that when I stress supporting minority-owned businesses, I'm not saying don't support any other type of business. What I'm saying is, in understanding and recognizing the importance of being self-sufficient and the power that we have in our dollar, that I provide preference to my own community, but that preference does not come at the expense of any other community. And my perfect, the way that I leverage this is this: if all things are granted even, if the price is roughly the same and the service is roughly the same, and I'm no idiot, I understand in the world of service and price, they're never exactly the same, but I'm just saying, when they are generally the same, then I provide preference to support my own community. If there is a difference in quality, service, or value, I don't care what color the business owner is, I'm going to support the business that is going to make the most sense economically for my company or my individual self. How do you approach that, Leonard?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely feel the same, because, you know, even when we're talking about the black businesses, supporting black businesses and not asking for the hookup, you know, I still want a fair price. Like, I still want a quality product. So, but yeah, I mean, I agree, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I think it depends on how far do we want to go out of our way to support a black business. So, like, if I'm living in Newark by Glasgow Park and I'm hungry and I know the nearest soul food place is in Wilmington, you know, I mean, you know, those are decisions we have to make. Now, if I'm in Wilmington, no question. But, I mean, Cliff, I definitely agree with you. Anytime I can, you know, or it's top of mind, or I see something, I try to. And then, you know, even just piggybacking off that, and, you know, kind of like you said, but, you know, like, I'll support people I know. So I know some white people who I'm cool with, and, you know, Hispanic people I'm cool with. So if there's people I know and they have a quality product, I'm also prone to support them as well, because, you know, like, we have a relationship. You know, I know them, and, you know, I want to see them do good too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought that it was important that we say that, because, you know, whenever folks from minority communities, you know, tend to talk about trying to do things to positively affect our communities, you know, this day and time, there's this pushback from the majority community. And, you know, they like to say, well, if we were saying this in reverse, we would be called racist. And,
exactly.
You know, that's not it. And I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, as we promote supporting, you know, minority-owned businesses, that we're not talking about doing it at the expense of anybody else. We're just simply saying that, you know, we make a conscious effort to support those who support us. That you said that earlier today, and I thought that was most profound and most fitting for this discussion. I tell you what, we are at the midpoint break on the show. We got to pay some bills real quick. Hold on for a second. Listener family, I want to remind you, as we get into this week's Good Music Intermission, that this week's Good Intermission is brought to us by our friends at Good Music Incorporated. The Good Music Incorporated DJs can be reached at area code 302-270-5642. So if you guys would hold for a brief second, we're going to hit you with the station identification.
Let your voice be heard. Email us at thebrowneyeperspective@gmail.com or call us at 347-857-2213. We'll be back in a few moments with the Brown Eyed Perspective.
You with another live mashup in the mix. It's DJ B-Love. DJ B-Love.
Your idol, the highest title, numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. And understand I got the gift of speech, and it's a blessing. So listen to the lesson I preach. I talk sense condensed into the form of a poem. Full of knowledge from my toes to the top of my dome. I'm kinda young, but my tongue speaks maturity. I'm not a child, I don't need nothing for security. I get paid when my record is played, to put it short. I got it made.
I got it made.
I got it made. I'm outspoken, my language is broken into a slang, but it's just the dialect that I select when I hang. I play it cool, the schooling is all that I'm about, to school it with the girlies that's been busting it out. I'm special ed, and you can tell by the style that I use. I'm creatively superior, yo. I never lose, I never lost, cause I'm the boss, and never will, cause I'm still the champion. Chief one won't lose until I choose, which I won't, cause I don't retreat. I run you over like a truck and leave you dead in the street. You're inviting me a titan to a battle. Why? I don't need your respect, since I got it.
These
Bismarckies, these Bismarckies, Mr. Dynamite, these Bismarckies, Mr. Dynamite. So, yes, y'all are chilling like beating. You could either dance or just have a seat and listen to the way in what I am displaying. A different kind of rapper language that I am saying to all the party diplomatic orbits by info. When it comes to rocking parties, I am a nympho. Maniac, brainiac, but doing my dancing. My record make the music, we'll put you in a trance and transcend your body and like it takes a cardigan. You won't be fighting the ill and you just be partying down with the funky town with yours truly. I'm the original B-I-Z, I mean, okay, I'm with the E and I aim to have fun and not be number one. And just here to let you know who's like running the place and everywhere that I perform and do a show, show, as long as you know that.
Nobody beats the Biz.
Nobody beats the Biz.
Nobody beats the Biz.
Nobody beats the Biz.
I want you. I like to introduce myself. My name is Biz Markie. And when I'm the human orchestra called Biz Markie, making music all the way is my specialty. When I go, I want you. Girls get excited when they hear my lyrics, they wanna recite them. I know you're in the mood, just go with the flow. And I can play rapping records, it's all disco. Like Beat It, Billie Jean, by Michael Jackson, or the Treasure Tree Ranking. They gon' ask you when you hear me do it, you will be shocked and amazed. It's the brand new thing they call the human beatbox craze.
Make the music.
Make a clap to this. I never let the mic magnetize me no more, but it's fighting me, inviting me to rhyme. I can't hold it back, I'm looking for the line. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat, the rhyme will be kicking in till I hit my last note. My mind remains to find all kind of ideas. Self-esteem makes it seem like a thought took years to build, but still say a rhyme after the next one. Prepared, never scared, I'll just bless one. And you know that I'm the soloist, so Eric B, make him clap to this. Make it.
I'm gonna
Yes.
Have you ever seen a show with fellas on the mic with 1 minute rhymes that don't come out right? They bite.
They never write.
That's not polite.
Am I lying?
No, you're quite right. Well, tonight, on the very mic, you're about to hear, we swear, the best star rappers of the year. So, cheerio,
yell,
scream, bravo. Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Trace.
Yeah?
Don't fall for it, Trace. I'm telling you, I hear him over there listening. He gets me every time. He gets me every time. Look, he had me lifted up. He'd be ready to rock out. He snatched that mix from underneath of you. I'm trying to tell you, don't fall for it.
You know I always do. I'm always in here chair dancing. Always chair dancing. And then you cut it off.
Trace, it could be worse. You could be in the middle of the club with a drink in your hand. As soon as you feel it, the mix is gone. You look at the DJ booth and he's laughing. I'm telling you, that could be you, Tracy. That's been me several times. Listener family, I want to remind you, this week's Good Music Intermission was mixed by none other than DJ B Love. To book a Good Music DJ, please reach them at area code 302-270-5642 or find them on the World Wide Web at www.goodmusic.com. That's www.goodmusic.com. Now, we got the man, the legend. We got none other than DJ B Love with us to have this conversation and to enhance this conversation with us for the second half of the show. You there, B-Love?
Yo, what up?
Oh, we're
you
so
all
lucky.
What's going on, good people?
Hey, not much.
See,
look.
No, see,
go
we
ahead,
only,
Trace.
I feel like we only get like a snippet of DJ B-Love, and that's usually during our good music interlude. So to actually have him on the show, man, it's like a privilege, celebrity.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me on. I thank y'all for allowing me to do the mix. You know, I look forward to doing it every other week. We should do it every week. What's up? Let's turn it up. Either do it every week or give me 10 minutes.
Cliff, is that how you gonna bring him on the show? Like he's just gonna basically he's saying either go big or go home. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's what he's saying. But you know, if we airing out grievances here, let me ask you, how come you always snatch the mix out from underneath a brother?
That's what I'm supposed to do. Like you know, I know I don't want to impede too much on the show, so it's just a quick get in, get out. You said 5 minutes. Sometimes I do 5 minutes, 30 seconds. Sometimes I try to do 6 minutes. You know, try to be slick with it.
No doubt.
But it's hard. Look. I'm going to tell you, it's hard because it actually gets to me, too. Like, I'm in the middle of the mix, be grooving. I got two other songs I want to put in. Look at the time. Like, oh, man, I got to stop.
I try to tell Trace, don't go too hard because the minute you feel it, he'll snatch that mix from you, man. I've been in the middle of the dance floor before, ready to rock.
Oh, come on, man. You got to let that Sugar Hill AZ thing go. Was it Sugar Hill AZ or Red Man Can't Wait? It was one of them.
It was the AZ, man. It was the AZ.
Okay.
I was reliving my youth. And then you reminded me. You close to the 40,
oh,
bro. All right, so look. The topic of the show, we talk about the importance of supporting minority-owned businesses. I thought it was really important to get you on the show because, you know, out of most of the people in my personal circle, you know, you've been a an entrepreneur longer than anybody else that I personally deal with. So, you know, I wanted you to come on and share some of your experiences, you know, as a minority entrepreneur. You know, what it's like and the importance of supporting minorities. So if you could just tell our listening family a little bit, because we've never given them any bio on you, you know, just tell them a little bit about who you are, you know, why you do what you do and why it's important for us to support minority-owned businesses.
Okay. Well, first, like, I can say I've been DJing for 21 years now. I started, like, in 1995 or what have you. And, you know, off and on, used to do a couple parties in college and, you know, local things, stuff like that. And then I actually had left the state of Delaware in 99. And when I came back, I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to DJ no more, because I also have a brother that DJs. And, and you know, we kind of clash heads because he's older than me. He's been DJing longer than me. And he looked at me as competition. So I was a college student, like, man, you know, I just step out. I won't DJ anymore, and I leave it to you. Well, a couple years later, I got married. And when I got married, I said, you know what, I need to do something to keep myself busy and out of trouble. Because, you know, like Cliff living that single life, he gets in trouble, don't you, Cliff?
I don't know nothing about that.
Go ahead and put him out there, DJ. Milo. Go ahead and
so,
put him out there.
So, anywho, you know, I started DJing again, and, you know, lo and behold, it actually, the game, DJ game changed, because when I started, I had two turntables, a mixer, and had crates of records. And when I say crates, it's like milk crates. Like milk used to come in crates, and we used to take them from the 7-Eleven or what have you, and we had records and all that. So, you know, when I got back into it, they changed and started with CD players, where you can use your CDs. Now, I always collected music, because that's what, you know, was one of my loves or what have you. So to get a CD player to start mixing this stuff costs money. Of course, I was working in corporate America, and I saved my money to actually end up buying some CD players and, you know, got in, started doing that. And basically, you know, just doing private parties and, you know, little gigs here and there. And then Vince was like, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'm really going to do it. At the time, I was working, say, skip to about 2004, I was working at Bank of America. Just tired of it. It's like, you know what, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do this DJ thing for real. Because I was always good at it, always made mixtapes and stuff like that. So it was a company here in Dover that was a DJ business. I ain't going to say no names, but somebody else was like, oh, you need to call them. You got your own equipment and things and that nature. I'm like, okay, so I called them. Didn't call me back. Called them again. Didn't call me back. Called me again. Didn't call. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own business. So thank you for my training in college. You know, I understood how to, you know, apply for a license, get insurance, the things I needed to do to actually start the business. So one of my college buddies by the name of Alex Moore, he actually had a branding company. So I talked to him, like, look, man, I want to start a business. I need a website. You know, I wanted it to be legit because I couldn't. I had a name in the street as DJ B-Love. Like, everybody knew me. But I know I couldn't go to, say, a high school, like, hey, I'm DJ B-Love. I want to do your prom. You know, they look at you like, no, thank you. So I came up with the idea. I said, you know what? What do? I provide good music. And kind of a playoff with Kanye West, because he was coming out with his good music brand as well. But I spell mine with a Q, and the Q stands for quality. Music with the Q. So I actually, you know, got with Alex, and, you know, he helped me with my branding, with my website or what have you. So, I don't know of another minority DJ around here that, one, had a website that was doing, like, high school functions and things of that nature. Because I didn't want to do, not saying the street stuff or anything, but my brother, he had a clientele, and I wanted to do a different type of clientele. So we didn't step on each other's toes, and, you know, everything would be okay between us. So I ended up doing the branding, started good music, got a logo, got the website, got the 800 number, got letterheads, got business cards. So what I did was started reaching out to schools, just sending out, you know, I wrote up a letter, sent it out to various schools, and they booked me. Like, they called, asked for a pricing, they gave them pricing or what have you, asked what it came with, And throughout this time, I still was doing other events, but building money to buy, you know, more and more equipment so I can do bigger things and what have you. And it's funny because, you know, my name is Christopher, you know, so it sounds, doesn't necessarily sound urban. So when they show up and they see a brother, like, hey, how you doing? I'm Christopher. They're like, what? And I can play all types of music. So, you know what I mean? So once they heard the actual product, like me spinning, you know, because a lot of times I would say being a minority DJ, some people think you can only spin one brand of music. So, you know, I had to be well-versed in doing different stuff. So, I mean, that's pretty much my story in a nutshell. I've been going, GMI has been going for a good while now. We've actually done events all over the country.
For a while.
That's good stuff. You got a question for B-Love, Trace?
So you said that you had to brand yourself and that you had to, you know, I guess, select your clientele so as to not step on your brother's toes. But so I guess my question is, you know, did you had the training, but is that difficult for someone who doesn't have the know-how or who's not familiar with, you know, licensing and insurance and things like that?
I wouldn't say is difficult. I lucked out because, you know, I got a great education at Delaware State University. So
go Hornets.
You know, yes, sir. And, you know, so they, you know, so I learned a lot of it from there. But, I mean, and also, you know, nowadays you can find stuff on the internet. You can get a book. Like the internet wasn't like that for me back then, where you can just Google anything. You can find out how to incorporate and get a, you know, a lawyer online and things of that nature. But, I mean, it's a lot of DJs now. You know, I think part of, like, the way technology has made the DJ game, you have a big influx. You know, people nowadays, you get a laptop and two speakers, they call themselves a DJ, which isn't necessarily the case. But, I mean, I don't think it's very hard to, like, incorporate. It's pretty easy, you know, if you go online and, you know, Google how to incorporate it, tell you everything you need to know, who you need, what you need to do, and things of that nature. But as far as branding, I just was lucky enough to have a vision to where I knew people wasn't just going to hire DJ B-Love. That's not a professional name, you know, for an event. Like, for instance, I actually DJed for Barack Obama, President of the United States. I did the inaugurational ball here in Delaware at Dover Downs.
Keep bragging. Keep bragging.
I'm not bragging.
Keep
I'm
bragging.
Just saying.
You know, we didn't get any tickets. Like, don't you need someone to help you bring in those non-existent crates these days?
Yeah. See,
I would have helped
in
my gown.
You can carry
your
laptop bag. But that was like...
Yeah. In my ball gown. I sure would.
But set up beforehand.
Cliff, if you were there, then I don't even want to hear it.
I wasn't
ahead.
There. He did us all wrong. You know what I think happened? I think he probably had to tell them, look, I'm not friends with that guy on Facebook, the one that says all that inflammatory stuff.
See,
I don't know him.
This is back in 2004. It's before Facebook. I wouldn't know Facebook yet. So, but, you know, with that, it was just the, you know, a company, people are more inclined to hire good music than, you know, DJ B-Love. So that's the vision. They don't know that they're getting the wild style DJing of DJ B-Love, you know what I mean? But the company is just, like, the forefront. Like, good music is what it is, and everything else, my services is secondary. Like, I mean, you're still getting the same skill, but it just has a different face on it. And I always pride myself in trying to be a professional. Like, and that's something that I learned working fast food, believe it or not, when I was in high school. Me and my best friend Dez, we was just talking about it Sunday, how we had this one manager, and even though it was fast food, he made it, he wanted people to feel like it was the Ritz-Carlton. Like, we worked at Wendy's, but you're getting a Ritz-Carlton burger. Like, the customer service had to be superb, superb, and, you know, you had to dot all your I's, cross all your T's, you want to make sure everything's straight. And that's something that I learned at a very young age and carried it on to, you know what I mean, various business deals. You just have to be – customer service is pretty much everything. Like, someone contacts me, I try to call them back within 24 hours. Particularly, except for on the weekend, because I normally spend every weekend. But, you know, I try to answer every phone call, every email, every text. You know what I mean?
Now,
in a proper form.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to jump in here for a second. Earlier when we had our first guest on, Tracy, you know, talked about, and our first guest also talked about, you know, how when he comes into contact with other minorities, folks be looking for the hook, you know, or be looking to barter. You know, what are your experiences in that regard?
Well, I mean, we've been blessed enough to not necessarily have that situation where, well, lately, when I first started, I could say that was a situation where everybody was looking for a hookup. Like, look, you can do this, you can do that. But I've a lot of my customers are repeat customers. They know my prices, and I try to keep my prices reasonable because I love what I do. You know what I mean? So I haven't really had the problem with people asking, you know, for the hookups, because I try to keep my prices not competitive because I don't know what other DJs charge, but just, you know what I mean, I try to keep it, you know, friendly for people. Affordable is the proper word. Like some people, I mean, I have had someone call me, is like, you know, how much do you charge? And I tell them, you know, well, I only need you for 2 hours, well, I only book for four. So whether you use me for 2 hours or not, that's on you. You know, it's certain stuff that you have to get out. But I would say, you know, the person actually said, well, you know, I can get such and such for this much. I'm like, okay, well, you know, enjoy your party or enjoy your event. You know, well, there is no, you know, conversation after that. If you can get such and such for that, then good. That's great. You can do it for that price. You know, I appreciate you calling. So it really isn't any negotiation. Now, the other part is I have had people try to do, like, they want the champagne package for Kool-Aid money. I don't know if y'all consider that the hookup, but, you know, it's like, okay, I'm getting married here, the same site, but, you know, it's going to be in this size, so I need a satellite system for this. And I'm like, well, you know, it's different prices for three or four different systems or, you know, different types of things that you need. But, I mean, I have had that rarely, but, I mean, that does happen. I think I've been lucky enough for people to know what type of service I provide and what type of professionalism that you're going to get, so they don't necessarily try to lowball me.
Right.
Yeah, I told I'm sorry, Trace, I know you got the next question, but I just want to jump in here real quick. I told the listening family earlier, you know, when I started my business, in the beginning, you know, I leaned on you a lot. You know, I relied on you a lot for tips in terms of, you know, how to go about certain things. You know, I always understood or had an understanding of what it took to run a business, but one of my areas of weakness is in how to deal with people sometimes. Not all people, but difficult people. And so I shared this story about when I was running into people who were constantly asking me for discounts, and you told me to straight up. I asked them, do you go into McDonald's and ask McDonald's to discount that Big Mac?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's right.
You know,
Go ahead.
No, I said you're 100% right, and it shouldn't be a situation where you have to do that, because sometimes, I mean, McDonald's can, they vary. I mean, I don't eat McDonald's anymore, but, you know, sometimes you get, you know, cold fries, sometimes you get hot fries, and that's the salty. But, you know what I mean, when they hire Clifon for photography, they know they're getting excellent pictures, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people that I can't say necessarily appreciate, people that understand quality have no problem with paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, yeah. you know, you can't go to McDonald's and say, listen, here, let me get a porterhouse steak with onions. We don't have that here. You know, I'll give you a piece of, I can give you a junior, I'm about to say a junior bacon, but I can give you a cheeseburger. You know what I mean? But it just depends. Like, you know, if you see their work, if you see your work or you heard your work or what have you, most people don't have problems paying that. And I've just been fortunate enough to come across, you know, customers like that. I haven't had anybody, you know, try, like I said before, try to lowball me. And I think sometimes, what I try to do as a business person is overexceed their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, someone books me for a wedding. I'm like, okay, well, I'll send you my wedding package. And in the wedding package, it tells them information about the company. But it also, you know, has a list of things that a lot of times people don't even think about. You know, what's your first dance or what's the dance you want to do with your father, if you want to dance with your mother, cutting the cake. You know, things. I'm not trying to be a wedding coordinator, but those are things that you want to think about. And a lot of times when you're planning the wedding, that's the last thing you think about. They think about the food, the dress, the cake. But, you know, actually on my website, it gives a breakdown of, you know, what people remember about the wedding. And the music plays a big part of it, because a DJ can
mm-hmm.
Make or break your wedding reception.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very, very true. So, you know, it's, what's great about really both of you is that you're in the service, I guess, part of your business. So you're providing a service to folks. And, you know, I my dad was a DJ for a number of years. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, don't knock a person's hustle. So and even though, you know, we call it a hustle, but we're really saying, you know, they have that entrepreneurial spirit, and they do, they have so many different skills that they're able to use, and they provide a service for folks. And so, you know, the last question or the question is, you know, do you find that your kids are interested in what you're doing? Are you passing it down to your kids? And that's for both of you, for you and Cliff.
I'll let you go first, Vito.
Okay. Yes, like I remember my son is 18. He's in college. And when I was when he was younger, I always wanted him to DJ. Like, man, you need to learn how to DJ. But over the past 3 years, he was like, okay. I would have friends over to the house, and, you know, we mess around on the turntables, or sometimes we'll just hit the back porch and chill out. And he'll come in and he'll do the he'll work on the turntables. He actually got pretty good. So he does
mm-hmm.
He does mix. My daughter from age 8, she's 11 now. Daddy, will you teach me how to DJ? Daddy, will you teach me how to DJ? So, because she just loves music, period.
Mm-hmm.
So my son, he dabbles in it a little bit. He doesn't do parties. He's not gung-ho like I was at that age, because I was trying to do every house party I could. But, you know, he dabbles in it a little bit. But I think my daughter is, I think she really is going to get into it. I haven't, you know, started teaching her yet. But when I teach her, I'm going to break out the old turntables. And she's going to learn, like, the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
Try and error. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not pushing her to be a DJ or anything like that. She asks because she loves music or what have you. So I think eventually she will. I think she will be a DJ. Unlike my son, he's you know, kids nowadays, 18, they're too cool to do anything like that.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, he dabbled a little bit, but I think my daughter's going to be the one.
How about little Miss Buzz?
Well, I think more so than if she's going to step in and pick up the reins of actually, you know, taking pitches, she's in a position, and I put her in a position to understand the business side of things. You know, she goes to appointments that I have. She goes to consultation sessions. She's usually with me when, you know, I'm taking phone calls, when I deal with vendors. And, of course, she's with me when I check that mailbox for those payments. So, you know, she understands the business aspect of things. You know, I've had conversations with B-Love about, you know, the next generation and, you know, how do you pass, you know, the legacy on. And one of the things that I've been saying I'm going to do is when I upgrade my equipment next, I'm going to introduce Shayla to the actual photographic side of the business by using the camera that I started with. So, you know, I'm hoping to be able to do that possibly in the spring, if not the spring, because, you know, that is wedding season. If not the spring, then maybe next fall she should be out and hopefully doing some shooting. And, you know, we'll see what she's got. This I have learned. You know, similar to what B-Love said about watching his children dabble with it. You know, our children pleasantly surprise you. You know, the only limitations on them are the limitations that we place on them, and I'm a firm believer.
Right.
In that.
I wanted
to ask one more question before we wrap tonight. I wanted to ask B-Love this question. As a minority-owned businessman, what is the most rewarding part of operating your business?
The most rewarding part, I would say, to look on people's faces after an event. Like after I provided my service, and they come up and be like, look, we love everything that you've done from beginning to end, you know, because customer service doesn't start when you walk into the venue. Customer service starts as soon as that person makes the first contact. So that, you know, gives me, because you can tell when someone is displeased with your work and everything that you do. So I think that is the number one thing. Is it seeing a look on people's face after you finish, like everyone is happy, having a great time, or they had a great time. I think that's number one for me.
Awesome. And I think for myself, the most rewarding part is, you know, I came from a family of entrepreneurs. My great grandmother was one of the first African American female business owners in the town of Milton. And my great uncle, you know, he kind of instilled in his nieces and nephews the value of being an entrepreneur. You know, he stressed hard work, but, you know, what always resonated with me was a phrase that he taught me when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and he just said that, you know, a black man can't survive on just a 9-to-5. Never let somebody else completely control your complete income stream, because if they control your complete income stream, to an effect, they control your life. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I've carried with me. And the most rewarding aspect of now being a, you know, a black entrepreneur is, can say full circle in my lifetime that, you know, I did what I was taught, and I take, you know, I have a tremendous amount of pride in the service that I provide, but I'm also very prideful and happy that, you know, I was able to have my own business.
Yeah, and I think it's important that your kids see that. And again, it's something, you know, like you said, Cliff, it's passed on from generation to generation. So, you know, again, we have to, it's for the babies, you know, we have to continue to build the future or prepare them for the future so that they can survive and so that, you know, life won't be as difficult for them. But great show tonight, Cliff. Thank you, DJ B Love. It was great having you on tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Special thanks to Leonard Young of DelawareBlack.com. So, you know, listening family, we hope to have him again on another future show. So just stay tuned for that. And you can find all of our information on our Brown Eye Perspective Facebook page, where you can contact or where you can go to and see DelawareBlack.com. So that sounds like that's the music, Cliff.
Absolutely. Hey. Thank you, DJ B Love, again. You know, we appreciate you. We appreciate what you do for our show. We're glad to have you as a member of the Brown Eye Perspective family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank y'all for having me. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Trace, big episode tonight.
I know. This is not a great one. So, you know, we have, I haven't said this in a while, but, you know, we said in 2016 things were going to change, and they definitely have changed. So, you know, the month of September, we got in 3 episodes, so that was great. And so we will see you all again. You'll see us. You'll listen to us October 13th. So stay tuned for that. We'll be advertising that in the near future. And, you know, huge shout out to our producer, Jazzy J. So she makes it sound great. And listen, family, I know you could have been anywhere. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, not to cut you off. Not to mention, our first guest is a proud alum of Jazzy J's fine
high
school.
I know. Yeah, so big things come out of AI, you know. So, and, you know, the other thing is that, you know, listen, family, if you paid attention to the news here in Delaware, we lost 2 firefighters last weekend. Their funerals will be held on Saturday at the Chase Center. So, you know, thoughts and prayers and support to their families, to their coworkers, and you know, honestly, to the family that was displaced as a result of the fire. So, you know, stay strong, everyone, and count your blessings. But that sounds like that's it, Cliff.
That's it. All right, we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. That's our time.
Yes. Good night.
Peace.